Here, the Government Operations Appropriations Subcommittee will now come to order. Will the Michelle please call the roll?
Chairman Ingram.
Here.
Representatives Antone, Clark Reed.
Oh, she
excused. Danish. Here. Carroll excused. Hood. Here. Hudson excused. Nelson.
Here.
Peters.
Here.
Rangel.
Here.
Brenuart.
Here.
Rodriguez.
Here.
Torres. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Very good. A quorum being present, I want to welcome everyone to today's Government Operations Appropriations Subcommittee. I want to remind everyone to make sure your cell phones and other communications devices are turned off or on vibrate. And if members of the public wishing to address the subcommittee, will please fill out an appearance form and give it to the administrative assistant. We'll make sure that you have a chance to speak, if at all possible. Members, this afternoon we have a presentation by the governor's staff on his budget recommendations for next fiscal year. I encourage you to listen carefully and ask questions. I'll be reviewing the governor's budget carefully as we begin to prepare budget recommendations for our committee. I welcome your thoughts on the budget recommendations. And so we'll move right into our presentation. First up will be Lori Grizel, the policy coordinator of the Office of General Government, the General Government Unit, and the Governor's Office of Policy and Budget. Lori, you're welcome to approach. Glad to have you. And I know you'll be assisted by Rhea Gillen and Jason Allison. And if at any time you need to turn around or recognize them, you're welcome to. And I'll recognize you in just a minute, but I see Secretary Nichols is here from DMS. We welcome you, sir. Always glad to see you. Thank you for being here. And with that, Lori, I'll recognize you and welcome, and we're excited to hear your presentation.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Like the chairman said, I'm Lori Grizel. I'm the policy coordinator of the General Government Unit within the Governor's Office of Policy and Budget, and I'm very pleased today to present to you the Governor's fiscal year 2014-15 budget recommendations for the general government agencies. These recommendations are the result of several months of very hard work by my extremely dedicated staff that I've got with me today. On the first slide that you see, this is an overview of our recommended budget for the general government agencies. It comes in right about $2.2 billion, which is just slightly higher than the budget in the current year. When you're looking at this slide, I wouldn't just point out that some of the really large agencies in terms of budget are Department of Management Services, Department of Revenue, and Department of Financial Services. Also, I'd like to remind you that in this area, most of the agencies are funded by trust funds rather than general revenue. There is some general revenue, but the majority of the recommendations that we're going to be making on the following slides relating to increases above base budget refer to trust funds. So when we're talking about trust fund spending, what we're saying is that we are recommending to increase the spending authority that that agency has for the trust funds that they currently receive, rather than sending general revenue to that agency. And I'll try to point out the general revenue items as we go. This next slide was in Cynthia Kelly's presentation to the full appropriations in the House earlier this morning. These three items represent the foundation for Governor Scott's overall budget for 2014 priorities. They include reducing taxes and fees, reducing state debt, and the one that is most applicable to general government agencies, eliminating government waste. The governor has been requiring state agencies to recommend reductions in their spending each year. As we were putting together our budget, we used the following overall guidelines. On the first item, you can see that we recommended funding new issues either based on a positive return on investment or there was some critical unmet need that needed to be addressed. Second bullet, we are proposing to streamline agencies through process efficiencies. This is generally done by us reviewing the items that agencies recommended on their Schedule 8Bs and 8Cs that are included as part of their legislative budget request. The agencies go through this reduction exercise every year. We evaluate the proposed reductions, discuss them in detail with the agencies, And then the ones that make sense that had minimal impact on agency operations, we have included in our recommendations. On the next one, you can see that we have included reductions related to the initiatives that were started last year where the governor directed his agencies to go in and renegotiate contracts and leases to get better terms. The next item, we are eliminating, we're proposing to eliminate targeted vacant positions. I'll be discussing that a little further on the next slide. And then, as Jason Allison, our IT coordinator, would say, finally, we are recommending to establish the Agency for State Technology. We'll be discussing that in detail as well. This slide shows the detail by agency of the different reductions that we have included in our budget. You can see that the overall reductions come in at $28.3 million. In addition to the reductions that I've already talked about related to efficiencies that were presented by the agencies on their 8Bs, contract and lease savings, we also are including various examples of excess budget that's no longer needed. A lot of this relates to budget that an agency has. It's built into their base budget related to federal grants that they no longer receive or functions that they no longer perform. On the right side of the chart, you can see the 148 positions that we are recommending to reduce by agency. The vast majority of these are vacant. The one exception to that that I want to point out and discuss in detail is under Department of Management Services. The position reduction includes custodial outsourcing, the recommendation for that. Since the late 1990s, the Department of Management Services has been gradually reducing the number of full-time equivalent positions that they have at the department to perform custodial services, and has been going over the last several years to outsourcing throughout the state. This recommendation is for the last six locations in the state that still have positions at Department of Management Services. Those positions are filled to some extent. There are a few vacancies, but in general, those would be potential layoffs. What the Department of Management Services, though, has done to address concerns regarding the employees is in the custodial outsourcing contracts. They have put in language that gives the current employees the right to interview with these vendors, and they get the first right at those jobs. And then the different vendors are to submit weekly reports to the department indicating who they've hired and how the interviewing is going. The other thing I want to point out regarding the vacant positions is what we do, which is similar to what your staff does in terms of their analysis, we run vacancy reports, and we look at positions that have been vacant for extended periods of time. For general government agencies, we were generally looking at vacancies of 180 days. What you frequently find, too, is that agencies will hold positions vacant for an extended period of time and then fill them and hold other positions vacant. What they're doing is trying to use the salary money from those positions to pay people that are currently employed in their agency at a higher rate, particularly in positions that you need to offer higher salaries to keep employees. When we were aware that that's what agencies were doing, we have proposed eliminating the position but keeping the salary money at the agency so that that better aligns their budget with the way they're actually doing their operations. Okay. Now we'll get into the individual recommendations for the agencies. Some of the highlights for Department of Business and Professional Regulation. The first item we're proposing is $3 million of additional trust fund authority for the Florida Homeowners Construction Recovery Fund. This fund is used to compensate homeowners that have suffered financial losses due to contractor mismanagement or contractor misconduct. It's funded by a surcharge on building permits, and then last year there were changes made to law that also provided additional funding for the recovery fund. The recovery fund did have an extremely large backlog that has been being whittled down with the funds that are in the current year. With the additional funding that we're proposing for next year, the backlog that currently exists will be able to be paid out, and then there will still be some money left over to address new claims that come in the current year. The next item is $158,000. This is to address the deficit of the Florida State Boxing Commission. This is general revenue. The Boxing Commission has been in deficit the last few years due to law changes that reduced the funding stream that went into the commission. The commission has gone in and looked at the way that they collect revenues and has changed those procedures, so they are anticipating that in future years they will be receiving more revenues. So the majority of the $158,000 that we are proposing is to deal with the accumulated deficit rather than on an ongoing basis. The next item, $87,000, this is to provide administrative support to two of the Division of Real Estate's regional offices. Two of the offices do not currently have any administrative support, and so the investigators at the office have to spend a lot of time doing office-type functions. This would allow the offices to have the administrative support so that the inspectors can then completely focus on investigations. The next item is $205,000. This is trust fund spending authority of federal forfeiture funds within the Division of Alcoholic Beverages and Tobacco, and it's for law enforcement training and equipment. Regarding the equipment that the department wants to purchase, specifically they're looking to purchase alcoholic beverage authenticator machines. This helps in their investigations to detect counterfeit alcohol. In addition, they want to purchase firearm cleaning equipment, training ammunition, and various things like digital cameras. The last item is a reduction, $243,000, and this is a continued reduction from previous years, resulting from the civilianization initiative that the Division of Alcoholic Beverage and Tobacco underwent. A few years ago, the division looked at the duties that were being performed by the sworn law enforcement officers within the division, and what they determined was that a lot of these functions that the sworn law enforcement officers were doing were really more inspector-like in nature, and so they reclassified a lot of the positions to inspector positions, and this allowed the remaining sworn law enforcement officers to completely focus their time on law enforcement activities. The next agency is Department of Financial Services. Some of the highlights for the agency include the first one is $461,000 of spending authority for federal forfeiture funds to purchase additional insurance fraud analytics software and training and expenses. Since the department started using fraud analytics software back in 2011, they've been able to identify over $200 million in fraudulent activity. As a result of this, the division's arrests have increased by 88%, and their convictions have increased by 100%. So in addition to additional software, training regarding new fraud techniques, the expenses are largely related to additional court-related expenses. The next item, $135,000, this is to complete the last piece of the migration of the document management system that was started in the current year. The department previously had several different document management systems that were incongruent and outdated, and so funding was provided in the current year to begin the migration, and this would complete the migration so that the agency has one complete, fully functional system. The next item is $3.2 million to provide fixed capital outlay funding for the state fire marshal. There's various items that are included in this. Primarily, the largest expenditure is $1.9 million to build a new burn tower at the State Fire College. The current tower was built in 1988 and has deteriorated so badly that they are no longer able to set it on fire as part of the training. So a new one needs to be built. In addition, there is funding for ADA compliance remediation, lighting and security for various buildings on the State Fire College campus, as well as at the arson lab. The next item is $275,000. This is to replace the arson lab information management system. The current system was purchased in 1992. It is extremely outdated and no longer supported by the manufacturer. This system is very important because it tracks and catalogs the forensic evidence that's used in arson investigations. And the last item is $1.8 million. This is spending authority for the Department of Financial Services to contract with the Florida Clerks of Court Operations Corporation. The legislature last session, 2013, passed a law that changed the way that the various clerks of court throughout the state are funded, and also the way the corporation that oversees the clerks is funded. The new law requires that the Department of Financial Services will receive the $4 filing fee that is in law to support the corporation, deposit that money into a trust fund, and then contract with the corporation to pass through the funding that they've received so that the corporation has money for operations. Department of the Lottery. The first item we're proposing, $4.9 million, is for the Department of the Lottery to be able to lease an additional 300 full-service vending machines. These are the machines that you see when you go into retailers. They're self-dispensing machines. They have both scratch-off tickets and terminal games like Powerball and Lotto. The department currently has 500 of these machines installed in retailers throughout the state. There was a revenue impact conference that was done last year that indicated that if these additional 300 machines, were fully deployed, after paying for the expenses, the lottery would be able to transfer an additional $14 million annually to the Education Enhancement Trust Fund. The next item, $119,000, this is to replace the very antiquated 12-year-old draw machines for Fantasy V. The machines are well past their useful life and have required lots of repairs over the last few years. Next item that we're proposing is $391,000. This is additional money above the base that they currently have for motor vehicle replacement. The lottery currently has numerous vehicles that exceed 150,000 miles and 12 years of life. That was the threshold that we were using within our office to recommend new motor vehicles. Most critically, the motor vehicles are needed for the sales representatives that go out to all of the different locations on a daily basis. They bring them tickets, bring them point-of-sale material, activate books that the retailers have forgotten to activate, all sorts of things that are very much needed to support sales. With the additional funding that we are recommending and with the department moving around underutilized vehicles, this would allow all of the sales representatives to have a vehicle that's below that 150,000-mile threshold. Next item is $352,000. This is for replacement of various information technology equipment. Specifically, there's different items. Part of the money would be used to purchase new check writing printers. These are for the prize payment checks that are written to winners. In addition, this would be to replace the storage area network in the Tallahassee headquarters and Orlando data center, as well as replacing the batteries that maintain the uninterrupted power supply for the main system at lottery headquarters. And the last two items are increases to both the scratch-off ticket and terminal games contracts. Revenue estimating conference that was held in the fall projected additional sales for both scratch-off tickets and terminal games. So this would be the corresponding increase that needs to happen to the contracts to pay for those additional tickets. Department of Management Services, the first item we're recommending continued funding for the Florida Interoperability Network and Mutual Aid Systems. These two systems together allow emergency responders that are on disparate radio systems to be able to communicate with each other. The next item is $2.2 million for enhancements to the statewide law enforcement radio system. These enhancements will continue the build-out in the parts of the state that currently are without mobile radio coverage. The next item, and this one is very, very dear to Chairman Ingram, I know, $8 million for repair and renovation of the Florida facilities pool. What we are proposing is funding for ADA compliance issues, life safety issues, as well as addressing the backlog regarding capital improvements like plumbing and roofing and air conditioning problems. The next item that we're proposing is $805,000. These are repairs to the historic Capitol. Primarily, these repairs relate to leaking heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems, as well as a lot of other equipment at the historic Capitol that is outdated. The next item, $4.3 million for the real estate optimization plan, staffing, and resources. This item you will be, as I understand, having a full presentation on next week by Department of Management Services, and they'll go into a lot of detail through this, so I'll hit it at the high points. But essentially, the money's being recommended to begin preparation for the implementation of a new real estate delivery model, which would consolidate the operations and maintenance and building construction responsibility for several of the agencies that have the largest amount of operations and maintenance costs. Specifically, the $1.3 million is needed for staff augmentation to assess the conditions of the buildings, and an additional $3 million is to provide vehicles and tools for consolidated operations and maintenance staff. Essentially, the department had a business case done looking at ways to improve the delivery of these services, and they are proposing, based on the business case, setting up regional service centers that would be responsible for a lot of the operations and maintenance instead of fully staffing every building with operations and maintenance personnel. The next item is $4 million for a new facilities management system. The current system that the Division of Real Estate uses was developed internally is extremely limited in terms of its capabilities. It's old, and a lot of the information that comes out of it is not reliable. So the department is requesting $4 million non-recurring for a new facilities management system. The new system would have improved functionality. It would include bond administration, fixed capital outlay planning, project management, lease management, parking administration, and operations and maintenance, and it would allow the department to streamline and automate current practices and procedures. The next item that we are recommending is funding for procurement assistance for the People First contract. The People First contract is the statewide system that the state currently uses regarding human resources. It will be coming up for rebid in the next year. And so the department wants to have procurement assistance to hire an expert contractor to help them write all the technical specifications in the procurement documents, as well as assistance in evaluating the proposals that come in. The next item is a reduction of $3.5 million of energy efficiencies. The department over the last several years has undertaken various initiatives to be able to reduce utility payments. Also, part of this reduction relates to an item that the legislature funded in the current year that gives funding to the Department of Management Services to hire engineers to go out to various buildings and to be able to do repairs that will and do an energy assessment so that they can improve the energy efficiency of several buildings. And the last item is $5 million reduction. What we're proposing is a reduction to the transaction fee that businesses that sell goods and services to the state through the My Florida Marketplace currently pay. Right now, there is a 1% fee that's charged to businesses on the amounts of goods and services that run through the system. This fee was originally established to fund the Division of Purchasing as well as the My Florida contract. What has happened in the last several years is that this fee has brought in more than enough money, so there's been an excess building up every year. So we are proposing a reduction that would take the fee that's charged down to just the amount needed to provide to fund the services that are needed. D- Department of Revenue. The first item is one-stop business registration portal. This is the new portal that is expected to go live June of this year that allows businesses that want to register with the state, new businesses, to go to one location to get all of their licensure needs done. Of that $1.4 million that's shown on the slide, $800,000 of that would be general revenue that's used for software licensing and portal maintenance. The other $600,000 is spending authority, just pass-through authority, so that when the various businesses submit as part of their registration fee, banking fees and credit card fees, this would allow the Department of Revenue to take this money and then pass it on to the financial institutions. The next item, $29.6 million, related to the Clerk of Courts deficit transfer. This item relates to the same law change that I was talking about for Department of Financial Services that changed the way the Clerk of Courts are funded. The law requires the department that each of the different clerks of court throughout the state on a monthly basis send to the Department of Revenue the revenues that they receive that are in excess of their projected budget. The Department of Revenue collects these funds, deposits them in a trust fund, and then as various clerks of court certify that they are going to have a deficit because they are not receiving enough money based on their projected budget, the Department of Revenue has authority to transfer these trust fund monies to the impacted counties. Excuse me, to the impacted clerks of courts. And the last item, $25.1 million, is to offset the loss in ad valorem taxes that fiscally constrained counties throughout the state have on an annual basis. This ties back to the 2008 constitutional amendments that lowered property taxes. Now we've moved on to the proposal to establish the Agency for State Technology. The agency will set state technology policy, plan and manage statewide enterprise information technology services. And the funding that you see that we're proposing, $3.4 million and 23 full-time positions, is for the executive direction for the agency. Some of the positions would include a state chief information officer that we currently do not have, the chief information security officer, chief technology officer, and six strategic planning coordinators in various policy areas. We're also proposing to transfer both the Southwood and the Northwood shared resource centers, the data centers under the agency, as well as provide $2 million to the agency for information technology security management planning. Specifically, this would allow the agency to contract with an independent third-party consultant to perform a security risk assessment and develop options for an enterprise cybersecurity framework. The assessment would focus on all of the different data centers as well as their largest customers. And our last slide is for Public Service Commission. For the commission, we're proposing an overall budget of $24.8 million, but no additional funding for new issues for the upcoming budget year. We are proposing reductions that total $1.3 million. Some of the reductions you see up on the slide, $181,000 related to statewide real estate initiatives. Specifically, this has to do with the commission needing less lease space in both Tallahassee at the Betty Easley Center as well as at the Miami Call Center. On the second one, there's a reduction of $350,000 that is built into the commission's base budget for the completion of a federal grant that they no longer receive, so they no longer need that funding. And then the last item is 21 full-time positions that are vacant being recommended for deletion, as well as $780,000 associated salary. Of those positions, six of them were taken without taking the salary rates associated with it. And that concludes my presentation. I'll be very happy to answer questions that anyone has.
Very good, Laurie. Thank you very much. And I know it was a long morning, with being on your toes, during the presentations then and then doing this. So I know it's sort of a long day, and I appreciate you taking the time to do it, and you did a great job. And I just wanted to praise you on a few things. I think the creation of the IT agency is fantastic. Excited about that. The tax cuts, of course, I appreciate it, and I know our constituents will also. And I just know it was a lot of hard work, and I want to thank you, and thank you for the presentation. And I'll be quiet and let others make comments and ask questions. So, members, any questions or comments? Representative Rangel, you're recognized with a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the last bullet you said, those are vacant positions, and you have 21 full-time vacant positions. Is that throughout the government, or is like space
within specific? The Public Service Commission? So this is the slide for the commission, so that those would be the 21 positions that are vacant at the commission.
Follow up, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Both last year and this year, I know there was a request for full-time positions that resulted in the recommendation for OPS positions through Florida Commission on Human Relations. I was wondering, if we have those positions available, why can't we supplement that and give them 7 positions that they need?
Those positions are with a different commission, Public Service Commission, but to get to your concern regarding the Commission on Human Relations, the commission was funded in the current year by the legislature with some full-time positions as well as OPS funding. In our recommendation, we are recommending 2 additional positions for the commission. And what we did was we calculated based on caseload for investigators. So between the existing positions, the new positions that they were given in the current year, and then the additional full-time positions that we are proposing, the caseload per investigator drops down to the level just slightly higher than what it was in 2010, 2011. And at that point in time, the commission was fully meeting all its different measurements, legislative measurements, and what HUD was expecting. So we believe that based on the staffing that they've received over the last couple of years and what we're proposing, that we would be fully meeting the needs.
Follow up.
It's to my understanding, according to Administrative Rules 60L-33.0005, OPS positions should only be used for short-term tasks and non-permanent positions. So is it you guys' recommendation that these positions are not permanent positions?
No, that is not our recommendation. We'll look into the slide. The statute does not specify short-term. The statutory definition of OPS mentions that, it does not, it used to, but it was revised several years ago to take out the impact that they were short-term. But we'll go back and look at the rule. I'm not familiar with that, and we'll get your response on that.
Okay. Thank you. An additional follow-up, you're recognized.
Yes, Chair. Do you happen to know what percentage of the civil rights cases have been resolved within the 180-day time frame?
We have that information. I don't know that. Do we have it with us? We'll be happy to get that for you. We do recognize that the commission was falling behind, so that's why with the additional positions funded by the legislature in current year and the additional positions that we're proposing, we did do that calculation to try to take them down to a threshold where the investigators would not be having excessive caseloads and be able to better meet the 180 days.
Good, very good. Representative Danish, you had a question. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. First there, I wanted to go to, you were talking before about layoffs, and I wasn't sure, were there any other layoffs in any other departments besides in the custodial staff?
I believe that those were the only layoffs that we are projecting. There were a few possibly other field positions, but of the 148 positions that we were proposing reduction, on the day that we ran a vacancy report, of those agencies, there's like 951 vacant positions overall for those agencies. So in some cases, agencies would be able to move someone into an existing position. But those are the only ones that, as we were talking to the agencies, that appeared to actually result in layoffs.
Follow up?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. How many workers are going to be laid off in the custodial staff at this point?
Based on, it was 50.75 positions, but a lot of those positions are part-time positions. So I believe I think our latest count was 61 filled positions, again, because so many of the positions are part-time. And like I said, you know, out of concern for the employees, the department has is planning or has already written into the custodial contract that those employees would be required to be interviewed by the outsourced vendor and given the first right to those jobs.
Follow up, you recognize.
Thank you, Chair. With that interviewing for these jobs, that they have the first right of refusal, I guess, when they're getting interviewed for these jobs, do we have any idea? Are they going to be working for the interviewing for the same pay, lower pay?
Regarding damages? Pay, we actually do have, we did look at that. The department, I believe, as part of pay, is it's actually included as part of the bid that they get. And there's four different vendors that they use currently, I believe it was four. And the pay is actually very comparable to what the custodial outsourcing, to what the employees get right now. In some cases, the pay, it kind of depends per position, like you have the front lines, custodial staff, managers, but in general, the department, what the department's paying right now versus what the vendors were paying was very, very comparable. And we'll be happy to get that information to you.
I appreciate that.
Additional question?
An additional question. Yeah. Getting into it, unless you're going to get into the lottery. Yeah? Okay. With the lottery, I've noticed that we're increasing how much money we need to spend, basically because we're increasing the amount of money that we're getting on the lottery. So more money's coming into the lottery. Is earning more money, if I understand that correctly?
Is there a particular item that you're talking about on the lottery? I'm not quite sure I understand your question.
Chair, is there an item? In the lottery, that they were talking about that they were going to the need more
machines.
Money.
Yeah,
I just lost the place on that.
For the page 8 on the slide.
Yeah, the contract increase
because
of greater sales.
Exactly. The last two items on slide 8, what that is those contracts are to pay the vendors that provide the scratch-off tickets and run the terminal games contract. The contracts are done on a per-ticket basis. So because the revenue estimating conference estimates that the lottery will be selling more tickets, we need to propose increases to these contracts to cover the cost of paying for those additional tickets. The net result is still more transfers to the Educational Enhancement Trust Fund after paying for these expenses.
Follow up?
Yeah, you recognize.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. One of the things I guess I want to look at then that we need to be doing is because one of the things I've noticed is that we're gaining money and going into education, yet when we look at the Bright Futures scholarships that are going out, from what I've been seeing on that's actually been going down because we've been making it stricter and stricter, and I'm wondering if it's maybe time we start to reevaluate how strict we've gotten on those scholarships. Since things are getting better as far as the finances go, maybe we need to start looking at improving getting out those scholarships to those kids in need.
Laura, I mean, you're welcome to answer, but I know you only do one side of this equation, so if you can't answer, we can make sure.
No, I was just going to let you know that I don't handle that, but I will be happy to pass your comments along to my equivalent over our education unit.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Antone, you're recognized with a question.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. One quick question regarding the Agency for State Technology. Does your proposed budget include additional dollars to recruit, retain, and hire the necessary talent and expertise that the data centers need?
I am very happy to turn that question over to our information technology guru, Jason Allison.
Jason, if I could ask you when you're finished to fill out an appearance form, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely.
You recognize it.
Yeah, thank you. So you'll see bullet point number one right there. There's an additional, we're recommending $3.4 million in 23 full-time positions from general revenue, which would be an increase of where we're at today to go out and develop that talent and bring that into Florida.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So would that include dollars to increase salaries for existing positions?
These are, as it relates to, no, as it relates to the $3.4 million is for the executive leadership portion of the agency. Mm-hmm. Those are all new positions, and those would be to go out and recruit talent either internally or externally to here to lead the agency. As it stands right now, there's nothing that relates for salary increases for existing employees.
Okay. Well,
You're recognized. Just a question.
All right, one last follow-up.
Sure.
And I guess what I'm trying to get at is there may be some positions within your data centers that you cannot feel they've been open for a very long time because the salaries are so low. Mm-hmm. So do you all have any plans to address that where you would increase that salary $10,000, $15,000 so you could get your Oracle database manager, what have you?
I think as it relates to combining both the Northwood and the Southwood Shared Resource Center, we looked at position vacancies and realigned by taking the vacancies but leaving the salary and benefits to be able to pay the people, a comparable wage as to what they're out there getting.
Good. Very good. Any additional questions, members? Representative Torres, you are recognized with a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the same line of questioning about the state technology, on page 5, you have here a reduction of 12 individuals, correct?
Yes.
Or positions?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then on page 11, you're talking about combining Southwood and Northwood. Is that why you're reducing the amount of people?
Yes, those are efficiencies from bringing the two agencies together.
But meanwhile, you're going to hire people for executive staff at $3.4 million?
That's correct.
So why are we getting rid of 12 people when we know we could use those people in that field?
Those are vacant positions. There's actually nobody in those. Those 12 positions are vacant right now. And so it's more of, I think if I understand your question, it's probably more of just a budgetary exercise in that there's a reduction of 12 in the entity that is now the Northwood and the Southwood Shared Resource Center. And please, if I'm getting this, okay, wrong. And where, as it relates to the entity that's going to provide executive leadership, there's 23 positions there. So
follow-up. I'm sorry.
You recognize her follow-up. Absolutely.
Follow-up. So is this going to expedite the problem that DEO has with the IT problem?
I don't believe it'll expedite the problem that you're referring to.
The unemployment checks that they're having the problem with the system?
Yeah, to answer your question, it will not expedite the problem. You're saying expedite the solution?
I mean, not expedite the problem, it's help them to clear up the problem.
I don't know that this right here will have an immediate effect on that. Long term, though, I mean, the way the agency is structured as it relates to project oversights for projects, large projects that have a total cost of over $10 million, this role will play an oversight role, kind of like an independent validation and verification role to look over those larger projects.
Okay. I got one more. I want to ask on the DMS, the management services. Thank you, sir. And my question to you is, I remember earlier they came and there was the savings on that 54 jobs was like $110,000?
The savings on the custodial outsourcing, the 50.75 positions, is $347,000 on a recurring basis. The first year, it's less than that because there's leave payouts, but on a recurring basis from that point on, it would be $347,000.
Follow up on that?
Do you recognize for follow up? Okay.
And how much are we paying this, or we're going to pay these agencies to do this work?
I'm sorry, I don't quite understand
contract.
Your question.
What kind of contract are you offering to these agencies to do this work?
To the custodial outsourcing contract?
Yeah.
It's the same contract that the agencies that is in existence for all of the other facilities. As I explained earlier, the rest of the state for the locations that DMS manages have been outsourced to custodial vendors for several years. What they have done is written into the contracts the possibility to take on these last six facilities. So are you specifically talking about the salaries paid to the employees or?
No. My target is, what are you offering to the company that's going to do this work? What are you offering to pay?
How much would the annual contract be?
Yes.
The current cost of the custodial contracts annually, of all the different custodial contracts that are in existence right now, is, oh, I'm sorry, the current cost of the all the paying for all the insourced employees is $1,567,000. After the outsourcing is fully implemented, the amount paid to the outsourced agency would be $1,220,000 for a savings of $347,000. Does that answer what you were looking for?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any of us, Representative Renouart, you're recognized with a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And in reference to the Agency for State Technology, thank you. Will this be consolidating the shared resource centers into one facility and leaving a current facility vacant that is either owned or leased by the state?
Thank you. Thank you, Representative. As of right now, what it is would be logically, budgetarily bringing the agencies into a single entity. As it stands right now, they would have two physical locations. The governor's recommended budget doesn't contemplate necessarily, as it relates right now, to bring the two agencies physically together, but I think that would be a logical progression.
One follow-up?
Absolutely.
But I assume there's going to be probably some more vacant areas in the facilities that are going to be, you know, consolidating, I guess, some of the leadership aspects. Mm-hmm. Is there a plan to fill some of those vacancies with other state agencies?
I'm not aware of any plan right now.
Right, thank you.
Any additional questions, members? Wow. Good job. Seeing none, hey, I want to, again, say thank you and did a great job of answering the questions and obviously of the presentation as well. And so thank you for your hard work and the presentation today. And that concludes our business. Any other business to come before the committee? Hey, I beg your pardon. I forgot to give the opportunity for public input. Any member of the public wishing to address the presentation? Seeing none, very good. Okay, thank you. And with that, our business is concluded, and Representative Renouart moves we rise.
Yeah.